Good morning, everyone, and welcome to New Salem Baptist Church. My name is Ben. If you don't know me already, Brother Mel is out this week, and he'll also be out next week taking a vacation, which I think he very much deserves. So let's be in prayer for him and Miss Annette as they're traveling a little bit, and just keep them in your minds and during this Christmas time. I have some announcements this morning. I'm always the comedy relief when it comes to the business meetings, so just watch out. I hope I do this all right. One thing is, this evening we will not have services. There will be no Awana. There will be no training service. There will be no worship service tonight. So if you come up, you're welcome to come up here and worship by yourself. The doors will probably be locked. So I apologize for that in advance if you show up. Next Sunday, we will also just have our morning service at 10:30. There will be no 8 a.m. service next Sunday either. So we have Sunday school still at 9:15, so don't miss out on Sunday school, but then at 10:30 we'll have our worship service, the only one for the day, and no evening services on next Sunday either. Also, with that, this Wednesday night, we will also have no services at the church. Spend that time with your family. I think this Wednesday seems to me like it's Christmas, if I remember correctly. And then the Wednesday after that, also, we will have no services. So, let's try to recap that so we make sure no one shows up at the wrong time. No evening services tonight. No services Wednesday. Next Sunday morning at 9:15, come to Sunday school. 10:30 worship service. No evening service next Sunday night. The next Wednesday, no evening services on Wednesday night. Then we start all back over and we get everything going fresh and anew. I think it is January 5th. And that will start early in the morning with Brotherhood Breakfast. On January 5th. So I hope I got it all straightened out for you so you know what's going on here this morning. Today we have Jeremy Posey who's going to be delivering the message. He's a deacon here at the church. There he is. I think he's a fine young man doing a great job here. And next Sunday will be Dr. Bobby Douglas. He's a former pastor at First Baptist Church Columbus. Hopefully, when he comes along, he'll be able to do what I'm doing here, and I won't have to. I always get awkward when I have to talk too much. Also, in the bulletin, you may notice that because of timing of getting things printed and all, we have an offertory this morning that's going to be a saxophone duet with Zach Holloman and Amelia Hurt. So just wanted to let you know who those are when they come up, because that's not in the bulletin if you want to. If you wanted to know who they are. And I think that's all I have to say this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts. Dear Lord, we thank you for this Christmas season where we can acknowledge and recognize the birth of Jesus Christ as he came so many, many years ago. And we know that he came and he was born into just a meager situation and that he was born to live among men. So that he could understand us and so that we could really relate to him. And that he was also born as a sacrifice. And we just pray that we will be aware of that and that that's foremost in our thoughts when we speak of Christmas. As we spend this time with our family and our friends, that we truly focus on you. And we ask this morning as we sing praises to your name that our voices be a sweet sound in your ear and that you really understand that it's coming from our hearts. And as we worship you, that you are the one receiving all of the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Usually I wait for Brother Mel to introduce me, but I guess I introduce me again. Let's all stand together and sing this morning.
Come back. Thank you.
just if you were curious, David Cunningham, who's also a member here, he arranged that music for them. And I also forgot that Miss Maggie told me to be sure to let everybody know that we are having children's church today. So out of all those announcements that I made, I forgot one. But I'm making up for it now. Isn't that right? Let's all stand together. It came upon a midnight clear.
On the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's own rain. shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
Stand together and sing. Thank you.
daddy for each and every one of us. That one day, as he grew into a man and lived on this earth, that he went to a cross and died for our sins. Lord, thank you for what you did for all of us. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, to his name we ask and pray. Amen.
Now, as the choir is making their way down to their seats, I just want to remind you again that we are having children's church this morning, and Brother Mel always says it's a fun place to go and wishes he could go, and I think I want to stay here and listen to Jeremy myself. So I hope that turned out right. Is that okay, Jeremy?
Yes, yes, it's great. Right. Thank you, Brother Ben. Good morning, everyone. As I was sitting down there, I was worried that I was going to be a little bit nervous. And I tell you, as I stand up here, I think I am a little bit nervous. So I want to go ahead and just own that fact and just kind of get it out of the way that I may say some or stumble my words a little bit. But, you know, I'm very honored that Brother Mel asked me to take this time while he was on vacation and having a little break, and that he asked me to come up here and deliver this message to you guys. This is, in fact, my very first real sermon. I have been a volunteer here at New Salem for a number of years, teaching Sunday school in all different age groups. And so I think I've sort of been inadvertently preparing myself to deliver messages. And like I said, I think Brother Mel may have seen that. I've also just graduated from Liberty University with a bachelor's degree in theological and biblical studies. So he also said that, hey, might as well use that degree that you got hanging on the wall. So here I am. But opening up today, I want to tell you guys a story about the very best Christmas that I've ever had. And so it was the year 1997, and as we were opening presents up in the tree, I noticed that my sister started to get more gifts than I did. And I started to become really concerned about this. I was like, okay, hold on. All right, that's a pretty cool sweater, and those are some cool socks and some shoes, but where are the toys at? Well, as, you know, all the presents were gone from under the tree, and my parents had cleaned up the wrapping paper, and my mom had begun cooking some breakfast, and we all sat down at the table. I'm still in my mind. I'm like, this can't be it. This cannot be it. There's no way that I've just got some socks, some shoes, and a jacket for Christmas. Well, my parents played it off very well. And so after we had got everything cleaned up and we had all ate breakfast, my father says, hey, I need you to run up to the shop real quick and I need you to grab something for me. So he handed me the keys to the shop, and of course I'm still kind of like, man, nothing was dawning in my head this is a game that they were playing with me. So as I unlocked the shop door and I opened it up, there stood a 1997 Honda 4-Trax 300 EX two-wheel drive. And so I will never, ever forget that. Of course, that wasn't my four-wheeler. It was the family four-wheeler. But you couldn't tell me any different. And so I rode that four-wheeler for many years like it belonged to me. But yet, I want to talk to you guys about, as much as I remember that gift and how important it was to me, I want to talk about to you guys today that we've all been given a gift that is much more important than any materialistic thing that we may get this season. And that is our Savior. I hope he's your Savior. He's my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. The message, the title of the message today that I'm going to deliver is based off an outline from Dr. Adrian Rogers. As I poured over through what I would talk to you about today, I said, well, sometimes standing on the scholarship of others and delivering a clear and truthful message based off of the Word is better than any performance that I could do or anything like that. So Dr. Adrian Rogers is one of my favorite pastors, and he did this message called The Unfinished Christian Story. Now, it's based off his outline, and I have studied through it, and I've made it essentially into my own. But I wanted to start with the scripture reference for this message is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 7. I'll give you guys a moment to find that. It In the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, starting in verse 7, it reads, "And to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled among all who believe, because our testimony is to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for every good work of faith by his power." So when Jesus came the first time, and we find that in Luke chapter 1, that he came in all humility. But that's not the end of the Christmas story. Sometimes we get caught up with the baby Jesus, and we get caught up with the cross and the resurrection. All those things are great things in truth, but the best is yet to come. Just as I walked up from that shop, and sometimes to that shop to discover that greatest gift, our greatest gift is yet to come. Jesus Christ will come back one day. And so I want to bring you guys 3 points today about this fact. The first point is that while we wait for Jesus to return, we ought not be disturbed. We ought not be disturbed during this world. And you'll see in verse 7, "And to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." The first thing we need to take into consideration is why we should not be disturbed is because we need to think of who's coming. And Jesus Christ is that who that is coming. The second point of why we should not be disturbed is that we need to think of the when Jesus is coming. Now, I can't give you guys a specific date, nor will I speculate on any date. But I will tell you that this word of God says that it is true. I believe it to be true. And that one day Jesus will return to this earth. And we can see that in 2 Thessalonians verse 10, that when he shall come back. And I want you to notice that there's a few things that it talks about in verse 10. It says, when he comes back on that day to be glorified in his saints. And I want you to think about who those saints are. Those saints are people in this very room. There are people that may have been downtrodden. These are people that may have suffered addiction. These are people that may have not always had the best take in life. But through the redemption power of Jesus Christ, he calls them his saints. The next thing is is the wonder at his coming. And his wonder, and because of all his saints, and we look at the wonder of his transforming love that he has for each and every one of us. And also his keeping power. If you'll notice in verse 10, it talks about how he and to be marveled among that all who have believed. His keeping power. If you have truly made the Lord Jesus the Lord, if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, then his keeping power is, it holds you. No one can take you from his hand. So all that who have believed. The next point in my sermon will be that we should not be deceived. In this world today, we see that there's many things that's going on all around us. In our political climate, our social media climates, the media climates period, we see that there's a lot of things that can deceive us and pull us away from the fact that Jesus Christ is the true and the one and only true Lord. All throughout Jesus' ministry, Satan tried to destroy him. And you'll see that when Herod tried to destroy all the babies, when he tried to send him to the cross, there was many times that Satan really did his due diligence to destroy. And that one day, when Jesus comes back after that fact, the Antichrist will try to set himself up as God. He will try to put himself in that position to say that I am that God. And many on that day will be deceived. I hope that no one in this room is here when Jesus comes back. I hope that he takes us all with him when he returns. During this 2 Thessalonians, just to give a little back history, that Paul was combating a letter that was written to the church there at Thessalonica. And so what they had written, they had signed Paul's name and said, hey, the tribulation is, Jesus has already came and gone. The tribulation is now. And so what happened was, is Paul was basically combating this message, this letter that had been written. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, that who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Satan's primary purpose is always wanted to be worshipped. And sometimes, myself included, may fall into that thing and want to place things of this world above the things of God. Whether it may be inanimate objects. Some people, I like vehicles and cars. Sometimes I spend a little bit more time looking at that stuff than maybe I should be in my word. Maybe I should be more in the word of God. Sometimes it's sports. You know, everybody during this time, we're looking at the bowl games coming up and the Super Bowl. Sometimes we take that time and we say, we put everything that we can. Some of you, and there's nothing wrong with it, in this room, may could name every great sports player for the last 50 years. What would it be like if you took that same love and desire and you applied it to the Word of God? And that you took that same love and desire and you poured that into memorization of Scripture. How much greater would our church be today if we spent that time that we had on those things and we put that same effort in the world? Mr. Tony Evans is a great speaker, and many of you guys have attended discipleship trainings with Mr. Tony Evans as the core leader in that group as far as through a video or a media substance. And he says that men today, we have the ability to study and retain and memorize and deliver the Word of God, and he uses that as a reference, is that the sports analogy that I just used, that we could, if we spent the time that we did there. So, do not be deceived. I've seen a lot of things on social media about some recent streaming services have set up some things about how some shows that mock the person of Jesus Christ. And I applaud anyone who has made a stand against that and has removed, you know, any support of them. It's just another example of how Satan is trying to deceive each and every one of us this time. I mean, even through the Christmas spirit, we go and we buy gifts, and I'm no exception. I probably spent way too much money. I don't want to tell my kids I got them anything, but, you know, she's sitting right there. But we probably spent way too much money on materialistic things, and we set up the Christmas tree, and we did that. In our home, we really try to do the best we can to set up, you know, Jesus is Lord of our home, but sometimes we do succumb to the things of this world as far as like the decorations, and we always put a lot of effort into those things. And so we talked about how we do not need to be deceived, but there is a deterrent to this deception. And this is actually my favorite part of the sermon because I get a chance to brag on you guys. And that is, the deterrent in today's world is a Holy Spirit-led church. And so as I was sitting down there, people were coming by. Of course, you guys can probably see it on my face. I'm like, I shouldn't have done this. I don't know what Brother Mel talked me into. I says, man, I'm gonna tell him, don't ever tell me to do that again. No, that's okay. I'm glad that he gave me the chance to do it, and I feel honored, and it's a good experience. But a Holy Spirit-led church is a deterrent to the deception of the world today and Satan's world. Just in the few moments that I sat there, I thought about it, and I said, you know what? Everybody came by, and they were so encouraging. We love you. You'll do fine. You're great. You'll do good. You'll do good. Of course, I don't believe it. I thought, I was like, I'm about to bomb this real bad. So, but anyway, I just want to kind of take a step back, and throughout my whole life, a Holy Spirit church has been there for me. Whenever I was a real young child, I had a great-great-grandmother, Gladys Price, and our parents moved in to care for her in her last days. She was a member of West Laurel Baptist Church, and there was a youth pastor there, and this is kind of very special to me. So, but, you know, a lot of you guys know my son, Carver. He's a good boy compared to me. So I would have been in the back of the church, probably coloring on the wall or something. But that man, Bob Taylor, came and got me every Sunday, every Wednesday, regardless of how behavior, you know, the trouble of behaviors that I had and how wild I was. But, you know, oftentimes we can't see the fruits of our labor until years down the road. And I'm sure as I called him on the phone, I still keep in contact. He called me this morning and he said, "Hey, I'm very proud of you, and that, you know, I know that God's going to use you in a great and mighty way." And that's what he told me all the time, is that, you know, God's going to use you for something special. I mean, hey, some of my teachers, they'd be surprised to see me right here right now. I want y'all to take a picture, because I need some evidence that I'm up here today. So, you know, because they sure wouldn't believe it. But he did. And this church did. And you guys, since I've walked through the doors, when our Sunday school was above the fellowship hall over there, and I turned the corner, and there was a plate of biscuits and gravy and sausage, and I haven't left since. So, you know, if you start feeding folks in your Sunday school, they'll probably stay a little bit longer. But I said, ever since my wife and my family and I came to this church, you guys have been very supportive in my education to go to school. I had no intentions that I would be a Sunday school leader, but somebody said, "Hey, maybe you should try teaching Sunday school once or twice." 6 years later, I've still been teaching Sunday school. But like I said, a church like this church, although not always perfect, is very, very paramount in shining that light into the world. And so I thank you. This church means a lot to me. You guys are my family. And so even in the good days, in the good days and even in the bad days, you guys are my family. So my third point today will be that when Jesus comes back, we will not be disappointed. If you'll look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we can see, "But we all always give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through sanctification by spirit and belief in the truth. To this end, he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So in those days when Jesus comes back, remember that when he first came back, and today in our Sunday school, I taught the 5th and 6th grade this morning, and we did the Christmas story. And I always, the one thing that stands out to me the most about the Christmas story is that he was laid in a manger, and that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, probably strips of cloth. You know, it probably was an indicator that Joseph probably made a meager salary. He didn't make much. And when they laid him down, my Lord, in a manger, he humbled himself, I mean, so low. When he could have came back, and, you know, he could have came back the first time in all power and glory and judged us for our sins right then and there. That's what we deserved. But no, my Lord chose to humble himself and to lay himself lowly in a manger, and that he would come and he would walk this dusty road as a man, fully God, and he would go to the cross willing for my sins. But again, the story doesn't end there. There's a story that Adrian Rogers tells about a man in a hotel room. He comes in off the road and he is sitting on the bed and he's so tired, and he says, "Oh, I just want to lay down and take a nap." And so he takes one of his shoes off and he throws it on the floor. He says, "How inconsiderate of me. There must be someone underneath me trying to get some sleep." So he takes his other shoe off and he lays it quietly on the ground. And he lays down a few minutes later, a man comes to the door. He said, he opens the door. He said, sir, will you please drop that other shoe? I've been waiting forever. So that's kind of like what we're doing, is we know that the shoe will be dropped. We know that the sun will rise again, but yet we're waiting on that fact to happen. When it does happen, we know two things. We know that he will come in secret for his church, his bride. The second thing we know is that the next time he comes, he will come in all sovereignty as a king, in all power and all glory. And it will be wonderful. It will be glorious. So, in conclusion today, I want to ask you a question. Do you guys know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior? Do you, if you do not, I'd like to give you, I'm going to walk down here just like Brother Mel, and I'll give you a moment to take that chance to make that profession of faith, whether you've done it or not. And if you've done it, and if in your heart you believe it, it's always good to come forward and make that profession of faith, because it tells us that we need to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. So many of you may have already believed in your heart, but maybe it's time that you confess with your mouth and make it public. If you haven't, I just want to talk about the path to salvation. Romans 3:23 says that we have all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses that he's been saved. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Acts 16:31 says, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household. During this Christmas season, I hope that we all find the time to really, really focus on what's important, and that is Jesus. I know that many of us will be traveling out of town, and some of us will be spending time with family, and it'll be kind of hectic. If you're like anything like our family, we have multiple destinations throughout the week. We have to go to this person's house and this cousin's house. I don't want us to get caught up in that. I want you to just take a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth as fully man, as fully God, humbling yourself, taking all my sins on the cross, raising on the third day, and will come back one day in all power and glory. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for our pastor, Brother Mel. Lord, I thank you that he has given me an opportunity to stand in his pulpit and deliver a message of truth. Lord, I pray that the words that I've said were not my words, but Lord, your Holy Spirit took control here today. And Lord, I pray that whatever gives you glory, I hope that you use me in that way, Lord. Lord, I pray for all the people in this room, in this church. Thank you so much for this church. And thank you for the great and good influence that they've been on me. Lord, I pray for our pastor as he takes some time off. We love him, and we pray that you would rejuvenate him and that he would come back even more on fire than he was when he left. Lord, I pray for our community. Lord, I pray for our government. Lord, I pray for our country. Lord, please return us to you. And Lord, I thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, that came and died a sinner's death for me and everyone else who believes. Lord, it is in his name that I pray. Amen.
And sing.
Song.